God, you know what I have to preach this morning. I ask you to help me. I ask you to anoint me. And I ask you to open the hearts of the hearers, Sun Life Radio, and in this church, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Habakkuk, the first chapter, and stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. The first chapter, beginning with verse 1 through verse 5. When you found it, say amen. The story is told of a young preacher who was asked to come and preach at a church, and he got real proud about it. And he walked up to the pulpit, and he was arrogant. He was a hot shot. He looked good. His shoes were shined, and he had his hair slicked back, and he thought he was really something. And he made a royal mess out of the message. And he started crying at the end. He came down and he was all disheveled. And he walked down. And some old sister in the church looked at him and said to him, "Young man, if you'd have gone up to the pulpit like that, the way you came down, you'd have been okay." Now, bear with me. I may have strange ways, but when Ezra preached from the pulpit, people said amen. I'm going to ask you not to clap. It makes me nervous. It makes me feel like I'm an ear tickler. And I say something, you're going to clap and applaud it. And if you don't like it, you ain't going to clap. If God blesses you, say amen. You can say, "Preach it." You can even stand while I'm preaching. I don't care. You need to get right while I'm preaching. Come to the altar. Some will pray with you. Won't make me nervous at all. But I'm not here to be applauded. I'm here to prophesy this morning. Hear ye the word of the Lord to this church. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? It's an awful thing to be crying to God and God not hear you. Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? Spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth. Listen to that again. Therefore the law, the word of God, is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. If that's not a commentary by God on the modern pulpit, I don't know what is. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold ye, God said. Now God talks in verse 5. Behold ye among the heathen and regard. And wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, even if it were told you. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Yesterday, I started in Isaiah. And God, 100 years before this prophet Habakkuk, through Isaiah, was calling His people to repentance. He called His own people wicked. You do that today and they'll stone you. They'll take a lawsuit out on you. They get angry. They'll write you email. They'll put a contract out on you if they could. I was thinking, God, when did the apostasy in the modern church start? How did we get to this point? Was there a watershed moment when we started to just throw out the baby with the bathwater? I'm not claiming a revelation on this. But the Holy Spirit reminded me of something that happened in 1967 that shocked the Pentecostal world. In 1967, 3 years after he had taken Pentecostal money to build the first premier Pentecostal university, Oral Roberts left the Pentecostal Holiness Church and joined the apostate United Methodist denomination. I say apostate because they don't have camp meetings anymore, and they used to. I remember I was shocked. Oral Roberts, who used to pray for the sick on television, used to pray for thousands and preach in tent meetings. He at that time, in my opinion, was the most notable Pentecostal out there in the public. But in 1967, he left the Pentecostal church and became a United Methodist. Reminds me of the farmer. I feel like the farmer this morning who's driving down the road in his truck. This is how I feel right now about the church. Farmer's driving down the road with a truck. And his wife's sitting in the truck with him. They're going to town. And she looks over at him and says, "Honey, we don't sit as close as we used to. Anyone that's married can probably identify with that. And the old farmer's just driving down the road and a big grin comes on his face. And he looks over to her in that truck and he says, I ain't the one who moved. Getting a little lonesome these days, Brother Swagger. It's a little lonesome these days, Brother Nations. It's a little lonesome these days, saints of God. I don't seem to be fitting as close to these people as I used to. Not that I don't love them. Not that I think that they're bad people. I don't think Oral Roberts is a bad person. I just think that he should have never left the Pentecostal church. That was one moment that came to my mind when I asked the question of God this week, when did this mess all start? Nothing worse than dry preaching. I remember the shock when this man who used to pray for the sick on television brought the Muppets onto his television show. I don't think you remember that. I mean, in the old days, the only reason Pentecostals bought television sets, I'm talking about the old days, was because Oral Roberts was on television and people wanted to watch him. The old timers would never have bought a television set. I've got Assembly of God literature in my library. And this is ancient. Teaching against owning radios. That it promoted worldliness. Boy, we've come a long way, haven't we, baby? Amazing to me. Problem's not the instrument, obviously. It's what we've done with it. I'll just park there for one more minute. Just bear with me. If it controls you, get deliverance from it. If you're going to sit there and watch inappropriate movies, and I don't need to define that for you this morning. I don't remember who it was on the Supreme Court years ago who said, I don't know how to define pornography, but I know it when I see it. We need a few more people who know wrong when they see wrong. We live in a generation that's calling wrong right and right wrong. We're confused this morning. The Bible says God's not the author of confusion. God's not confused, and you don't need to be confused this morning. And then about that same time, forgive me, I'm from Maine. Just write it off. It's just what I see that happened. We've been on the wrong side of the tracks for so long, socially, as Pentecostals. That in the 1960s, when the charismatic movement came, and people in denominational churches began to experience Pentecost, as David Duplessis put very well years ago, he said, I don't have problems with Presbyterians acting like Pentecostals, but Duplessis said, I have problems with Pentecostals who want to act like Presbyterians. Just say amen. I'm going to break you of that habit in the name of Jesus. Just say amen. Let it loose. It's saying amen. You say, I don't have problems with Catholics who want to act like Pentecostals. I have problems with Pentecostals who want to run around like Catholics. Praying to Mary. One time, old Brother Trotter was in some kind of a meeting, he told me. He said to me, Brother York, I didn't know there was a Catholic representative there. I don't know how he didn't know it, but he was just in a meeting somewhere. Old Brother Trotter said to me, Brother York, he said, I was a little upset about how we were starting to act more like Catholics instead of Pentecostals. Brother Trotter was a man of God. We need more men of God like Brother Trotter was in this generation. Brother Trotter said, there I was, I didn't even know it, I was near some papal representative or somebody, some big shot. And Brother Trotter, we got a little stirred up, and he said, I said right out loud, and everybody heard me, elephants will roost in trees before I kiss the Pope's toe. We got Pentecostals running around with backward collars, calling themselves bishops, waving censers. I know some of them. I love them. They're just messed up. You know, we're a little confused on this love message. We say love, 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 love. We're all love, and that means we don't tell the truth. I want you to know this morning, I love you enough, I'm going to tell you the truth. Just say amen, folks. Just say amen. Glory. God moved in the lives of people in historic churches. And they received a genuine move of God years ago in the charismatic movement. But I want you to know that you can't stay in error. You might have started in Catholicism and then come into the truth of the gospel and got filled with the Holy Ghost. But I'll tell you one thing, you can't finish where you started. You've got to come out from among them. You've got to be separate, saith the Lord. You've got to touch not the unclean thing, for I will receive you. And the same message that I have about our historical precedent in apostasy this morning, it's the same message that God has to the church. And you know who you are that are listening to me wherever you are in the world. Some of you are in churches that are a mess. Some of you are in churches that are a mess. In fact, probably most of you are. I would not want to risk my salvation sitting under some of this teaching. I don't want to be susceptible to the spirit of error. It's So this modern apostasy. And there were other things. And you've heard about it on Sun Life Radio. The latter rain movement. And all of its ramifications. I'm not going to elaborate on all that. There are several streams that have led to the apostasy. And I've named two of them this morning. They're not the only ones. But I want to move on and look with me at verse 1. It's good to hear the rattling of India paper. It's good to see people follow along in the Bible so you can check me out when I'm preaching. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. And he starts with a question, God, how long? How long shall I cry and you not hear? Even cry of thee of violence, and I will not save. Why do you show me iniquity? Cause me to behold grievance, for spoiling and violence are before me. There are that raise up strife and contention. Habakkuk was not talking to God about the Moabites or the Jebusites or the Edomites or any of the Ike family. Take notes, Joyce. He was talking to the people of Judah and Jerusalem, the people of God. And he's saying, there's violence, God. And I've talked to you about it, and I don't see anything happening. There's wickedness. There's strife. There's contention. How long, O God, is this going to go on? Pardon me, but what was that strife? What was that contention? Well, look at what it says here in verse 4. The law is flat. The law is flat. And judgment doth never go forth. Why is all this stuff going on to the church and people are doing violence to the Word of God? Why is there strife in the body of Christ and contention? It's because we've gotten slack. Hear me now. We've gotten slack with the Word of God. And we've turned from the Word of God to fables. We've gone to ear tickling. Back scratching. Want to feel so good preaching. The law is slacked. Judgment never goes forth. It's interesting to me to observe that of all these prophets running around here, none of them ever prophesy judgment. It's always blessing. God's going to bless you. God's going to make you an apostle. God's going to make you a bishop. God's going to give you an honorary doctorate divinity degree. Oh, glory to His name. Most of them don't even know how to spell or write in intelligent English. They run around each other, oh, Dr. So-and-so, run around with robes and collars and stoles and caps, looking like Catholics, half of them. Burning incense, looking like the great whore of the book of Revelation. And judgment. In case you didn't know it this morning, does not begin at Joe's Bar and Grill. We'd like it to. Oh, those pagans down there in New Orleans. Those Wiccans. Those lesbians. Well, we have our list of everybody that deserves God's judgment. But I'm here to tell you this morning, according to the Word of God in Habakkuk, God's judgment is going to be on His people first. Judgment does not begin at the Country Western Bar. And if you are at the Country Western Bar, get out of it. And if you're a sipping saint, get salvation. And if you're on pills that are not medically prescribed by doctors, you need deliverance this morning. If you're getting Freudian therapy, you need to get baptized all over again at the altar. All right, if you want to raise your hands once in a while, I won't get nervous. Just say hallelujah once in a while. I won't lose my place. Yes. God says in verse 5, behold what I'm going to do among the heathen. I'm going to exegete this today. And if I need more time, I'm going to ask God to send a snowstorm here so none of you can leave. I'm going to exegete this. I'm going to give you the context. Because some of us think, oh yes, God's going to work a work in our day. Hallelujah. Yes, He is. But you are not going to like how it starts. He said, I'm going to use the Babylonians. And I'm going to humiliate my people. And I'm going to allow those who are more unrighteous to judge my people. You hang in here with me now. You say, oh, my God's a God of love. My God wants me to feel good. My God likes to tell jokes behind the pulpit. I don't know who your God is. I don't know who their God is. Help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? I mean, are you really getting this, folks? How did we get in this mess? Along the 1980s, God had enough. And then He began to use people who were not holy, who had no affinity for the things of God, to begin to expose things that weren't right in the body of Christ, and it was not pretty. Some of them ended up in jail. We had to deal now with the media. It used to be the media would make fun of us because we spoke in tongues and we dressed a holy life and we went to all-night prayer meetings and we acted kind of different than the rest of the world. But by the 1980s, they weren't making fun of the church anymore because we were different. They were making fun of us because we were just like they were, only we were hypocrites about it. You still with me? We were hypocrites. We were fraudulent. We lied. We sinned. There's only one way for God to move, He has to get sin out of the way. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God said, I'm going to work a work in your day. And as I stopped with that, you hang in here now because God's about to bless you. As I meditated on that, my eyes fell not only on the judgment that God was going to use the Babylonians, now known as PBS, nightly news shows, Newsweek, whoever it was that God had to show us we weren't living right. We became the butt of jokes on Letterman and Leno. We were no longer the butt of jokes because we talked in tongues and we believed in healing. We were the butt of jokes because we had sinned. And we entered captivity in the church with the hooks in our mouths being let out as the people of God. I'm so glad. Go to the second chapter. The Lord showed me something. When you're there, say amen. The Lord showed me something. Habakkuk, in the first two or three verses of the second chapter, says, I'm going to wait now for God to speak to me. Let me tell you, when the church is in trouble, we wait for God to speak to us. And when we get out of trouble, we stop waiting on God, so we get back into trouble. One of the things that brought this, has kept this ministry going, has been the daily prayer meetings. Do you go? Do you show up? Or is it a little loose now? The blessing has fallen. The windows are about to open. And just about the time God gets us into the Jordan and across into the promised land, He has to say to us, don't forget the God who brought you out of your mess. We can fall right back into pride, self-effort, professionalism. I believe, Brother Swagger, in playing skillfully with a loud noise. But I'll tell you one thing. Some of the old-timers might not have known what key they were singing in. But when they sang with the power of God. They sang living a holy life. They sang with the anointing. I'm going to preach on it tomorrow. The Lord helping me. He sends the singers first into the battle. This is not the message I want to preach, but it's the one God told me to preach this week. I said, God, are you sure? Foolish me to ask God, was he sure? David Whitelaw took me over to the printing press. Or not the printing press, what is it, the shipping house? I saw the new evangelist coming out. Do you know what verse is on the front of the new evangelist? Right? In Habakkuk, the second chapter. You read your new evangelist that's coming out next month. Right in the cover of the evangelist, it says that the vision, write down the vision, make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. I got news for PBS. I got news for Dan Rather. I got news for Reuters. I got news for the Associated Press. We may have been in captivity. We may have messed up. We may have sinned. We may have really horribly failed God. But I want you to know there's been some repenting going on. And while we were repenting, is anybody with me this morning? How can you sit there? My God! My God, help me this morning! I got a message for this ministry. You may miss lunch, but you're going to get the message. Right in the midst of the captivity, when the fish hooks were in our mouths, and PBS and Leno and all the others were joking about the televangelists. In our times of repentance, God raised a message. He said, write it down, Brother Swaggart. You begin to write it down. Because God lifted you up out of the shadows and He gave you a message. Look at verse 4. Stay right where you are. Don't move. If you have to go to the bathroom, wait a minute. Here's the message, Brother Swaggart, that God gave you. The devil thought he had knocked you down and out for the last time. But there is a fountain filled with blood. There is a fountain. Speak it right out in the name of Jesus. It's about time we start speaking in tongues in this place. We act like a bunch of Presbyterians. Here's the message. Look at verse 4. The vision, verse 3, is yet for an appointed time. What's the vision? Stay with me. Say amen once in a while. The vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak. Sister Samantha, and it shall not lie. You ain't right with God. Hit the altar right now. Though it tarries, I said yesterday, this church has got to learn to tarry. I'm just going to editorialize for a minute. I don't understand how you can come to Family Worship Center and enter this building and not hit the altar when you walk into this room. can you talk about the affairs of this life in chit-chat? I may be a little old-fashioned and old-timey. I don't know. Maybe I missed something. Maybe I was out of the room when the Sunday school lesson was taught. That we didn't still have to reverence the house of God. He said, oh, I know my body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Act like it. How much more when we enter into His courts, we ought to do it with praise. David Whitelaw brought me over here the other day for the first time. I walked into this room. I walked in this room. He was here to give me a tour. I walked through that door, and it wasn't 3 minutes, was it, David? I put my hand up. I couldn't even talk to him. I put my finger up to him and let him know to wait. And all of a sudden, I begin to groan in the Holy Ghost. How can you come in here, saints, and chat? You see, that's strong preaching, Brother York. I'm going to preach strong because I love you. When do we stop going to the altar? Or go there and just kind of stand and wait for lightning to hit us? I'm not through yet. I haven't gotten to what God's the message is. I'm just on a side note for a moment. Call me old-fashioned. Call me a maniac because I'm from Maine. Some sister said, you're a maniac. I plead guilty. You can call me a fundamentalist. I plead guilty. You can call me a biblical literalist. I plead guilty. You can call me a Pentecostal. I plead guilty. Don't call me charismatic because I'll get mad at you. I am not a charismatic. I am not a charismatic. I am not a charismatic. I'm not in that mess. I'm not in that Mary mess. I'm not in that mess. It's got questionable theological ramifications to it. Been there, studied it, bought the t-shirt and got out of it. Go back to verse 3. When you're there, say amen. Amen. For the vision is for an appointed time. Make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. It's going to come. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will surely come. It will surely come. Someone say amen. Wait for it. It will come. It will not tarry. And in the midst of the captivity, humiliated, fish hooks jerking us along, disgraced by our sins, and the world laughing at us and mocking us because we're no different than the other Gentiles. Paul writes about that. In the midst of the mess, stay with me now. In the midst of the mess, look at verse 4. In the midst of the mess, there came a revelation to Brother Swaggart. It came to Martin Luther when the church needed a reformation. And it's come to Brother Swagger because the church needs another reformation. Get ready, AP, Reuters. Get ready, Newsweek and Time. Get ready, ABC, NBC, and especially PBS. You're going to have to come back here and do another special. And this time, it better be straight. You say, oh my God, you know, oh yes, I know what I'm saying. Though he slay me, I'm going to trust him and preach it this morning. Lift your hands and just say amen. Here's the message that he had to write down. Here it is. The just shall live by faith. Hudabasata. The just shall live by faith. We had to go through captivity to get that message. We had to go through humiliation to get to that message. We had to learn that good works could not get us there. But in the midst of the captivity, in the midst of the jokes on Leno and Letterman, God used people who didn't even serve him to get us back to the cross. I said, God, can you hear me? I said, God, use people who didn't even know him to get us back to the sawdust trail, to get us back, to get us back, to get us back. You're not hearing me. To get us back to the old path of righteousness. Jeremiah 6:16 says,